On one occasion, a biologist had been involved in very extensive study and decided he wanted to study the little subject of what we call the little ant on the ground. If you don't believe an ant is very powerful, go stand over a fire ant hill this afternoon and you'll discover there's power in those little creatures. He decided to study the little ant. He discovered there were over 4,000 different species of that little rascal that you could barely see. He discovered that the most important part of that little fella was its antenna, or the feelers on its head that helped guide it where it needed to go. That fascinated him, he thought that wasn't enough. And so he kept digging and studying and discovered that they have three sets of legs, three parts to its body, a head, thorax, and an abdomen. And even though they have eyes, they can only see light and only see shadows. And he also discovered that they dig nests in the ground. Some live in timbers and decaying tree trunks, but most dig into the ground. He was so fascinated that he decided, well, I'll go on a field trip and I'll go find me some ants and sit back and observe them for a little while. And he did so. He watched them run back and forth across that ground. He watched them run into that hole and come back out, always steadily working. He watched that with fascination. How that they stayed so busy, doing what they knew they were supposed to be doing. Now let me stop right there and just throw one point out there. We ought to be busy doing what we know God wants us to do.
Right.
They were busy. And then he drew attention to one little ant that had a large piece of straw on its back. And that poor little ant was struggling with everything he could to carry that piece of straw. He just watched with fascination. That ant would go a little space and he'd stop because of the weight of the straw. He'd go a little further and he'd stop because of the weight of the straw. And then he watched him come up to what was a large crack in the ground. And he stopped. And the ant looked on both sides as if to say, what am I going to do? There's a lot of us in this room today who's ran upon that crack in our life. What are we going to do? We are struggling and striving every day with the weight of the world, so to speak, on our shoulders. And now we come up to a crack in our life and we really don't know what we're going to do. We don't have enough speed to run and jump over the crack. No, we know that if we do that, we'll fall into the crack and be consumed forever. We know we can't turn around and go backwards, for if a person turns around and goes backwards, then that's not good for God. So what are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? The crack has appeared. People have been unfair to us. Circumstances have been unfair to us. And we stand there as if there is no hope. Now before I ever go any further, let me stop right here in case Christ were to come back before I get finished and remind you of one thing. When you stand there and look at that crack in life and you feel like there's no hope, and there's no help, let me remind you, thank God, there is Jesus.
Amen.
So if he were to come back before I finish, you absolutely know that you don't have to be devastated and depressed. Aren't you glad that Jesus is alive and doing well?
Amen.
And so what are we going to do? And we feel like sometimes we're the only one that's ever been in that boat without a paddle. We feel like we're the only one that's ever been thrown into the water without a life jacket. And we feel like we're the only one that's ever been in the fire without a fire extinguisher. But that's not true.
The children of Israel was on a journey to Canaan. They reached the Red Sea and they didn't know what to do. And the armies were behind them breathing down their backs. And they just didn't know what they were going to do. And Moses lifted his rod and God parted the waters and they just went on their merry way.
Amen.
That was a sign to Israel that their God was in control.
Amen.
They went on. But now after 40 years, they have faced another difficulty. Now there's a lesson out there for all of us. Difficulties will come in your life over and over and over again. I wish I could sit up here and tell you, you only go through one hard time. No, no, no. The closer you get to the Lord, let me assure you, you'll go through numerous hard times. Now they stand there again, they don't know what they're going to do. The crack has come into their lives. And Canaan was on the other side. Now I know we refer to Canaan as being heaven, but Canaan's not everything about heaven. It was a brighter life spiritually, what it really meant. A brighter life spiritually, a closer walk with the Lord. Every child of God, greatest desire in our life ought to be a closer walk with our Father. And we've reached the difficulty. And we are hindered and hampered. And discouragement and dismay has set in. Let me throw something else at you. And I'm going to speak to myself as well as everybody in this building. If you let discouragement and dismay take up residence in your life, then your faith in God is not as strong as you say.
Amen.
So what are we going to do? What did the children of Israel do? Joshua chapter 3 today. Look with me for just a moment. The book of Joshua tells us how we can have a more abundant life, how we can have that closer walk with Christ, how we can get over the cracks in life. Sometimes we stand there and we look at that crack, and we'd love to push some folks over into that crack. But that's not God's plan. He wants us to get on the other side of the crack. There is a twofold part in being delivered from our difficulties. And one is simply this. Now stay keen with me. It's man's part in deliverance. We think sometimes because we've read our Bible, and we think sometimes because we attend church, and we think sometimes that because of who we are, that we can go home and lay back in our recliners, and God will do everything for us. No, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, God expects you to do your part as well. God's sick and tired of lazy folks who expect Him to do everything when He wants us to do our part. If God has delivered you, it may be because you're not doing what God's asked you to do. You've got to do your part. You've got to want to be delivered, and you've got to want to get closer to the Lord. The problem is in the average church today, and not just our church, and among the average Christian today, they're happy to stay with God where they are, and they don't want to get any closer. Well, that's wrong. You ought to be, want to be as close to God as you can ever, ever be in your life. You know, there's a separation between us and God sometimes. As you're aware, the Lord's not blessed to have a grandboy. We have only seen pictures. We have not had an opportunity to get our hands on that boy living in Okinawa, Japan. They carried him to church on which is their day. They went to church for the very first time, which I stand up here today as a proud papa and a proud father that they realize the importance of church in a child's life.
Amen.
But you know what? That distance creates a hard time there because you just want to hold that baby so much. And I want to pinch those cumbersome jaws. Well, he got fat jaws right there.
grandfather. He's got more hair than his grandfather has seen since I was 17, 18 years of age. There's a distance there. I think among us in our relationship with Christ sometimes there's a distance there. We see him from afar off, but we don't want to get any closer than we are.
Amen.
Church, I'll tell you one thing. You ought to want to be in grieving distance.
Amen.
You ought to want to be so close to the Lord that you can feel him reach out and touch you. You say, that's a figment of your imagination. You can't feel that. I'll guarantee you one thing. I have been close to God that I can just literally reach out and touch God. If you haven't had that experience, you ought to go somewhere and have that kind of experience. When God shows up, he don't have to introduce himself. You'll know he says. But there's a part we've got to do. And you'll never get over that difficulty. And you'll never get over that crack unless you do your part. Now what is it? Verse number 3, Joshua chapter 3. Here's what he said. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now what's man's part? Say with me. There must be a preparing. And how do you do that? There must be a seeking. You've got to see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Now the children of Israel had stopped subcamp for 3 days. Verse 2 tells us that. They've been there for 3 days. They knew that they could not clear out a path in the river by themselves. They had a mess on their hands. And they sat there and done the baddest thing for 3 days. Had ever committee meeting you could think of. Oh yeah, they had the crack committee. Trying to determine how they're going to get over that thing. They sat there debating that. And they realized that they needed divine help. Church, I'll tell you one thing. You'll never be delivered until you realize you can't do it by yourself. You need some divine help along the journey. And so now it was time for them to go somewhere and wait till they see the presence of God. You know, we want to run ahead of God. We know it. We're Mr. This and Miss This and we're Miss Church This and Mr. Church This. And we know more than what God we think knows. And I want you to understand something. When God created all things, if you were that smart, he'd have put you right on his right hand.
Come on, brother.
But you can't come. And so we've got to prepare by sitting back and seeking the presence of God. And I've got news for you. You seek him good enough. The next thing you'll know, you'll see him show up.
Amen.
Some of us don't want God to show up. For if God walked in this building today in visible form, you'd lose your authority. Let me remind you, you don't have any authority to start with. There must be a seeking. When's the last time you shut yourself up and said, I'm going to stay right here, God, until I see you move? If you run ahead of God, you'll fall in that crack. If the children of Israel ran ahead of God, they would have drowned. And church, let me remind you of something. God is still alive, and God is still speaking. It's our fault that we're not hearing what he's saying.
Amen. Amen, brother.
There must be a sin. Stop and seek the Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to go. Lord, you have got to show up. And then you snap your finger and lo and behold, you look around and the presence of God fills the room as if it was a cloud. And I've got news for you. God still shows up when we want him to show up.
Amen.
We act as if he don't show up. I like it when I feel goosebumps up down my spine. I like it when tears come in my eyes and I can't see. I like it when my heart goes up and I don't know it's up. I like it when my feet begin to move and I don't know they're moving. You say, oh no, that ain't the Spirit of God. I beg to differ with you. I am glad that God still shows up.
Amen.
And I'm glad, listen,
listen, I'm going to throw a statement out here. You're going to get mad. That's all right. But listen to this. I'm glad that God will also show up at what is supposed to be a dignified Baptist church. I'm glad that the Church of God and the Pentecostal Holiness don't have all the Spirit of God. He don't care what the title is over the door. He just wants people to see me. And he'll show up. There must be a secret. Have you saw him lately? Have you saw him lately? Whose fault is it? Lord's God's. And then he goes on, verse number 5. And he tells me there must be a sanctified. Now there must be a seeking and a sanctified. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. You know what he said? Take your bath. Clean yourself up. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do some amazing things among us. In the sense, in our present time, here's what he said. Listen, children of Israel. Get up and take your shower. Comb your hair. Put the best smelling perfume and cologne on that you've got. Because God's going to do something tomorrow. And the news media may show up. And I want us to look at our very best. If there's sin in our life, you'll never see God. And people think all they had to do is pray that one little sinner's prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. Confess it. He moves in our heart. That's wonderful. That's how we get saved. But I want to go ahead and tell you, we've got to pray a prayer of confession every single day. And I am glad to know that unlike our Catholic brothers, that, hey, listen, I don't have to go sit on the other side of the curtain and talk to a priest. Guess what? I can fall where I am, and the priest shows up. There must be a priest. If you're not faithful to God, why should God help you over the crowd? Some folks just show up to church when it's convenient. They show up to church when there's nothing else going on. Or they show up to church just when there's a fuss and a fight. And I've got news for you. Listen to me very carefully. The days of the church fussing and fighting are to be over with.
Amen, brother.
If people's going to come home with a fuss and fight, their heart's not right anymore.
Amen. Amen.
You know why you ought to want to come to church? You ought to come to church with the idea. Guess what? I wonder who he's going to save today. I wonder who's going to show up that I'm not invited today. And by the way, if you don't ever invite them, they won't ever show up.
Amen.
Must be a sin. Clean up. Clean up. I probably don't want to ask this, but I'm going to go. So go ahead and go right on the limb. How many of you this morning, sitting in this sanctuary, took a bath or a shower before you came this morning? Thank God. Carol Hobb, you didn't take one? What about last night? You know what? We want to clean up our bodies. We want to smell the best we can, look the best we can. I'll tell you the most important thing is be clean spiritually.
Amen.
And so that's our part. We seek the Lord. We sanctify ourselves. We know. And not everybody, listen, I'm so glad. Now I'm just going to go ahead out here and throw this up. I am so glad that you're not the judge and jury in my life. I am glad that the Father in heaven knows who I am. If we have all on tape, if some of you were the judge and jury, you'd have crucified me a long time ago. But I'm so glad that God knows who I am.
And
that I belong to him. That's man's fault. There must be prepared. Then he said something else. There must be a performing. Now you can't just keep preparing for that. You can't do so. You can't go stand in the shower for 5 hours. There comes a time you got to get out and put some clothes on. So what does he say? Verse 14. Here's what he said. He said, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan. Now the first thing you've got to do, there must be a going. They had to be removed from their tents. The day for them to cross over Jordan had come. No more time. They got up out of their tents, put them away, as if to say, we don't need them any longer.
There was no fussing, no arguing, no saying, let's wait a little while, let's do a vote on this thing. There was no grumbling, there was no griping. I'll tell you one thing, they just knew it was time to move. Can I look at you in the face and tell you, it's time for some of us to put our tents.
Amen.
You got to quit moping around. God has more for us to do.
Amen.
You got to quit.
Amen, brother.
It's miserable in the tent. There's no air conditioning in the tent. There's no heat in the tent. There's no food in the tent. Get out of the tent.
Amen.
Quit dwelling on what you think the church ought to be doing and just start doing it. Everybody thinks they have the cure and the solution for what the church needs. Well, I've got the cure and the solution. It's doing what God wants us to do and getting out of the tent of misery.
Amen.
I want to get close to the Lord. But I have this thought. The more you lay up in your tent and dwell on your Jordan, the deeper it gets.
Amen.
You know what they done? I think they peeked out that tent every once in a while. They knew that Jordan was down there. And they thought, what are we going to do? And they go back to their tent. What are we going to do? They go back to their tent. What are we going to do? They go back into their tent. You don't have many bedfellows in your tent. The only ones that are gathered with you in your tent is those that's miserable to start with. You want somebody that's bubbly and enthusiastic and encouraging all the time? Or do you want to stay with somebody that nothing is ever right, always condemning, always putting down? Who do you want to stay with? That's a dumb question. There must be a Lord. The time of seeking, time of sanctifying is over with. There's a time of going. People say, well, I'm not done seeking the Lord yet, preacher. I just really don't know what the Lord wants in my life. And I'm just happy to stay right here. I've got news for you. We're going to bury some of you, and you still won't be found the Lord. Twiddle our thumbs. Twiddle our thumbs. Do you not think the Lord wants us to put our tents up? You're not seeking the Lord. You're staying right there where the Lord wants us to be. And I'll tell you, and I'll go ahead and hit another thing, and I'm going to probably dig myself a grave, and that's all right. But not everybody at City Grove wants City Grove to grow.
That's right. Amen.
That's a hard statement, but it's true. You know why? People don't want it to grow because we might lose our authority, and might lose our control, and we might lose who we are. I'm going to tell you one thing. Listen to this. The only person you are is a sinner saved by God's wonderful grace.
Amen. Amen.
And if we don't want the church to grow, why in God's name did you build such a gigantic sanctuary to sit here and look at all these red padded pews when we stand up here? You want to come up here and stand where me and Tim look and sometime look around this building. You can see all these empty spots. If you don't want the church to grow, why in God's name did you build such a building?
Come on, brother.
Let's be honest. And if you don't want the church to grow, then there's something wrong with your spirituality.
Amen.
This thing ought to be packed to the gills. With the Spirit of God moving, this thing ought to be full. You ought to have to stand up sometime. And wouldn't it be ideal to come in here one day and have to set chairs out because God was doing so much?
Amen.
Now the only way God's going to do that is when we realize that we've got to get out of the tent of misery and quit grumbling and griping about everything and get out of the past and be what God wants us to be. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for my life. I don't know what that plan is sometimes. It's dark and dreary. We don't know which way to go. But I've got news for you. God still has a plan. God has a plan for this church. And you know what's going to happen? If God's plan is fulfilled, some may have to fall off the wagon for God's plan to be filled. But there is a plan. There's a going. Then there's a second thing. There is a guide. Here's what he said. Pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Now look at verse 15. And as they bear the ark, we're coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped to the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks, and the time of harvest. Now here's what you need. If you're going to have a going, there must be a guide. The greatest guide you ever have is the Lord.
Amen.
You hear what he said? Carry the ark of the covenant. Do you know what that is? That's representative of the presence of God. Don't ever do anything without the Lord's presence. Thank you.
Amen.
Most outstanding piece of furniture in the tabernacle, overlaid with gold, surmounted by a mercy seat between cherubs. Two stones, Aaron's rod, bow of manna. Mostly it represented the presence of the Lord. And they would fix their eyes on that ark.
Amen.
Quit looking at Rob. And quit looking at Tim. And quit looking at the deacons. And open your eyes and start looking to the Lord.
Amen.
We've got to have him. You can do without me. You can do without Tim. You can even do without the deacons. And you can do without your Sunday school teachers. But I've got news for you. You can't do without the Lord.
Amen.
You've got to have a guide. 3,000 yards. And they had to have a guide. 3,000 yards. Better life. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you. He may lead you through the fiery furnace, but you won't smell like you've been there. He might carry you through the den of lions, but you won't have one tooth mark on your body. Guess what? He's still the same Lord. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's man's part. There is the performing. There is the performing. And the river was open. Listen, there was no breeze anywhere. Water was over their heads. But guess what they had to do? Listen, they had to get their feet wet. They had to get their feet wet. God is not going to help you over your craft in life until you get your feet wet. You know what the feet represented here? Their faith. They stepped those feet over into the water. They had done their part.
Yeah.
Now what happened? That's the man's part of the news. What about the master's part? Look at verse 16. Here's what happened. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, there far from the city, Adam, that is beside Zarephath. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed. And what he said, he goes on. Verse 17. They were cut off and the people passed over right against Jericho. Now look at verse 17. Look at what he said. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant, the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. When man does his part, the master will do his part. And I'm glad that sometimes, listen, when we're too lazy to do everything he's asked us to do, he gets tired of fooling with us and he'll already help us deliver us anyway. Now what happened? I know it's time to go, but what happened? The master's part is simply to conquer. You and I cannot control and conquer the storms of life. And deliverance only comes from the Lord. You know what happened? The waters will come down as far back as the city of Adam. You know why he wanted to tell us that? He's so detailed to tell us how far back it was. You know why? The city was 16 miles down the river. The Lord held the water back for 16 miles so that 2 million people could cross. 16 miles. It took a long time.